from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's Cofield and Company here on the Tuesday. Miles Simmons coming up. Just a couple of minutes, get into a whole bunch of NFL conversations. Sam was just talking about Jerry Jones. He was on a station down in Dallas. The hosts obviously were, you know, getting on him a little bit about the team's play, especially the lack of aggressiveness in the offseason to make
getting
the team
on him
better.
Or asking necessary questions.
A little bit of both. But he appeared to at one point even threaten their jobs.
Yeah,
as he was on there. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will just sit us down. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested on a damn phone call with you over the radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwasher, you'd have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not, and I really don't. And I don't even want our listeners listening to me talk about it. This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did. That's not your job. That's not your job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man. No, I'm not kidding. Obviously, that is a station that is kind of affiliated and tied in with the Cowboys, and this is a problem with these kind of relationships, honestly, for these things happening. People want to hear their people that make the decisions in their market talk about these things, but you have to trust that they are fair questions, and not fair. And I'm saying they are
legitimate.
They're free to go express their opinions and actually kind of challenge you and go after you a little bit. It can't just be a hey, ask me something. Ask me this question because I'm going to say something really good, and we're going to have this joyful conversation all the time. It doesn't work. It's fake, and nobody's going to buy it.
The equivalent would be. For context, for you, if you're listening, the equivalent would be Mark Davis during a phoner with Raider Nation Radio with the morning show hosts, in a sense, right? Or any of the hosts, morning or not.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's certainly an issue. And Jerry Jones then went on to back the strength of the roster, saying it's a good roster and. Obviously, he has a vested interest in saying that since he and his son put it together.
Do you think that comment, that little rant, it realistically is going to open up to where other media members, sort of like Deion Sanders, right? Like, okay, so he attacked one, so now the other ones, is everyone going to be laid back about it? Or is everybody all of a sudden going to go that he can't touch, go in on him? And we could talk to Miles about that because Miles is with us.
Yes, Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. Check him out on Peacock not right now. I was going to say he's with us right now, but you can check him out on Peacock and on Pro Football Talk all over the place. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. Nothing going on in Vegas today, huh?
Nothing.
Never. Nothing at all.
Never.
Quiet.
Never. Raiders.
Quiet
so
day.
Boring. What a boring, boring franchise. Even though I know you're just talking about the Cowboys.
But sure.
Yeah. What's up? What's up? About?
Not much. We have nothing. Nothing to talk about. Actually, you can go. Well, we have nothing to talk about today because it's a very boring day. Obviously, a lot going on with the Raiders. We'll get to Devontae Adams because we've talked about him a lot over the last 2 hours. We haven't even mentioned Tom Brady's name. Tom Brady did get approved today.
Wow.
He did get approved because I think it's meaningless. But either way, he gets approved today as an owner. Of the Raiders, a minority shareholder, but he is supposed to have some influence on the team. Thoughts on this being approved? I think it's ridiculous that it was approved, to be honest. But it gets through, and he will be somebody that has some say with the Raiders.
Yeah, I also think it's pretty ridiculous. And the reason is because Tom Brady has a job, and that is as a Fox broadcaster. And I feel strongly that if he's going to do one, he shouldn't be able to do the other.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if he wants to be, what John Elway was with the Broncos, and like create, be the guy that crafts the roster and do all that. And, he has an ownership stake too. I have no problem with that, but then that's what you should be doing. But I think it does everybody a disservice when it comes to viewership. If Tom Brady is not doing the things that a normal broadcaster does, right? That is going to practice, talking to the coaches and the players in a pre-production meeting, gaining the information that is valuable other than, well, I played for 20 years and that's why I know what's going on. Like, there's, I think that there are a lot of things that are way more insightful that he should be able to bring to a broadcast that he's not bringing to a broadcast because he wants to do this. And that's great. I mean, like I said, he can do it if he wants, but then, like, that's where your full dedication should be. And if it's not, then, like, you're doing what are you getting paid $37.5 million for if you can't properly do the job? He can't even properly criticize officiating. You know, you look at last night when Troy Aikman starts talking about, hey, man, that I don't know if that really was a roughing the passer call. Tom Brady cannot do that because he is a team owner. So why, you know, it needs to be one or the other. It should not be both.
A lot of people have talked about what you just mentioned, and that's the biggest one. That's the glaring one, the obvious one. I mean, there's production meetings. There's talking to players. There's finding about injuries, like all kinds of things going into a game that could then be passed on to the Raiders for later in the season if a team's playing them or somebody else. There's also things that, like, will come up along the way. You don't even really think about them. One of them potentially being, let's say it's late in the year. Let's say there's a player that's out on the field. Let's say Tom Brady says, you know what? I've watched him a lot on tape. Haven't seen that much good out of him. I don't think he's that great. You know, I think he struggled in this. You know, can't really do this part of the game. Oh, he's going into free agency, and you're going to sign him? You're trying to drive down his price? Is that what you're doing here? Like, all of these things are, like, little things that can come up.
Voice, yeah.
And by the way, it's not just if he's calling a game against a Raiders opponent. Like, what if he's calling a game that one side could help the Raiders potentially? I mean, it's not going to happen this year, but, like, a playoff push. And the Raiders need this team to lose, and now you're – again, I don't think he's going to do any of these things. I don't think he's going to do anything nefarious, but there is the perception, and there's also the possibility it just really shouldn't be happening.
No, and I agree with you, Adam. I mean, look, it's one of those things where, first of all, I mean, is Tom Brady even that good at broadcasting right now?
No.
I mean, like, and that's job A of being a broadcaster, is being able to communicate your thoughts and your feelings and all this stuff effectively. And I'm not saying that he's going to be bad at that forever, but I'm not been impressed when I've watched a Tom Brady game on Fox and I've heard him, especially considering the guy that he replaced is actually very, very, very good at that job of communicating everything that's going on in a football game and some of the little nuances that viewers might want to know. And I'm talking about Greg Olsen, obviously, but, you know, I just feel like I should name him. So, like, those are the things where you can look at it and you can say, man, it's Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's going to get a certain amount of runway that most people would not get because he is Tom Brady, because he has accomplished what he's accomplished as a National Football League player. But that being said, you know, I think that if you're really going to do one of those jobs properly, then you need to focus on it, you know. And Mark Davis is saying today, oh, well, you know, he's not playing quarterback for us, but he might be able to help us find another quarterback. And so if that's the case, then – like, what are we really doing here?
Also, what a slap in the face to Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, just saying, well, that publicly. I mean, but still, I mean, come on.
I know, I agree.
It's a public slap in the face, and it's probably something that the owner should not be saying when we're going into week 7 of the NFL season. But yeah, I mean, I think we all know what time it is.
Greg Olsen, also a better rapper than Tom Brady.
I'm unfamiliar with Greg Olsen's rap career, but I am not surprised that's something that
that's
you know.
Not Miles. You don't know about this?
Adam, look, there's a lot of things that go in and out of my head when it comes to especially like music, football. Like, I mean, I cannot be expected to remember every single little thing.
I'm going to send you some links after the show.
Great.
It's incredible.
Nothing like a Darren Waller video, but, you know.
Lord.
That was good.
Max Crosby freestyling in the locker room. That's the one thing that always I will remember from the 2019 Oakland Raiders. That was fun to watch.
Also a solid memory. Tom Brady bought a piece of the Raiders today, and it wasn't even the biggest news story around the franchise.
It was not.
That is crazy. Uh-huh. I guess first thoughts on the deal being done.
The most surprising element was that Devontae Adams was already in Jersey this morning. I mean, maybe it shouldn't have been surprising to me, but it was. And like, because I saw a joke once the reporting came out that the trade was being finalized and all that. It's like, oh, you know, Devontae Adams took a red eye to New Jersey as soon as he saw that Mike Williams didn't run that route properly, and you know that leads to the pick or he slips, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, lo and behold, like an hour later, he shows up as Pat McAfee is doing his weekly interview with Aaron Rodgers. And you're like, what the hell, man? So, I mean, I'm not certainly shocked by this. I guess it's interesting because, you know, when Aaron Rodgers talks about last week, oh, all these people think I have so much influence and power when I don't. Yeah. And then Davante Adams shows up not even a week after he said that. That it makes the words ring that much more hollow because we understand. I think we all understand the chemistry between Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers on the football field. It was great. It was tremendous. I mean, Davante Adams is one of the biggest reasons why Aaron Rodgers won MVP awards, right? In those two consecutive years in 2020 and 2021. So I'm not naive enough to think that this wasn't going to happen. But I suppose, you know, when you look at it and you say, wow, this is something that, you know, happens even after they fire Robert Saleh, like that, it really shows you that Aaron Rodgers does have a really big level of influence over the New York Jets, which I don't think, again, is that much of a surprise either.
I'm going to take it a step further. Forget the red eye.
First of all, Devontae flew private.
Yes. That's first of all, he was on a charter.
He flew into Teterboro. He wasn't going into Newark.
Listen, I got news for you. I'm going to go a step further. I don't know this, but I'm just going to put it out there. Davante Adams was in Jersey for the game. He may not have been in the stadium in case someone saw him, but he was there to watch it, break it down with whoever, see it, because they didn't just formulate this when Aaron Rodgers came off the field and he said, get it done, like everybody's saying, and then they phoned Davante. Davante knew yesterday morning, we're getting it done tonight. Pack your bags, get out here. He was probably there. I'm guessing that he was there for the game. Again, I don't think he's in the stadium because there's going to be at least one person that sees him and leaks it. But I think he was there. He's been there.
He was in transit, certainly. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers said today that he didn't hear about the trade until 12:45 last night.
Yeah, so okay.
Whatever that means. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not shocked by any of it, in large part because we know the relationship and we know that Aaron Rodgers holds a certain level of influence. And the thing is, though, guys, like, I don't know how much this is going to matter, right? I mean, you look at that offense last night, it wasn't fluid. And is Davante Adams going to be able to make it that much more fluid? I don't really know. I mean, Garrett Wilson is still a really talented receiver, and for whatever reason, Aaron Rodgers does not seem to be on the same page as that guy. It's weird to me because they've been in the same building now for over a year, right? Even if they weren't playing together last year, this is something that I feel like should have been solved going into 2024, and it wasn't. So, I mean, he's still throwing to Alan Lazard more. Now he's going to throw to Davante Adams, and Garrett Wilson's just going to be chopped liver. So, I don't know. And, you know, Downing, as their new offensive play caller, never been all that impressive to me either. So, you know, we'll see how it works, but I mean, this does not make the Jets the favorites in the AFC East by any means.
Well, it's also we talked about this earlier, but like Davante has told us a couple times just in conversations that one of the great things about playing with Rodgers is that they both have such, you know, long memories of plays, and that there'd be times when they would just go to the huddle and they would say, hey, remember that, you know, that play in 2018 when it was 3rd and 6 against the Titans? Let's just run that here. And they both know it, and they both know how to do it, and they just go execute it. Well, like, that's great. What's the rest of the team do? Like, what do we do? What's our job on this? What, you're just running this random play that we don't even know what it is? Like, yes. All right, I guess that's happening.
That's absolutely going to happen. And it's going to be, well, you know, you're a backside Garrett Wilson. Now you do whatever you want. Maybe just run a 9 round. You know, just run down the field. Do whatever you want. I don't know. We're on a post. I don't give a crap. But, like, that's the weird dynamic that's going to be in that building. And that's part of why I don't feel like Davante Adams is going to be this magic elixir. What I do think is interesting, though, and you guys, I'm curious your guys' thoughts on this. You know, the conditional pick that will go from a 3 to a 2 if Davante Adams makes first or second team all pro, or if they get to the AFC championship game, that's not going to happen. So I don't even feel the need to discuss that. But I believe that Davante Adams could be a second team all pro, in part because the numbers are going to go wild with him and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there was a point when they were in Green Bay, one of the last few years, where Davante Adams was 80% of the passing output from Aaron Rodgers. Right? So if that's the case, right, and I don't necessarily know why it couldn't be, it could certainly be 70-80. Why couldn't Davante Adams be a second team all pro and then push that pick from a 3 to a 2. That's why I think the Raiders did a good job with this one.
It makes sense, but my question is this. If it doesn't translate to the win column and they get to a point where they know they're not going to the playoffs, why not just let off the gas pedal to avoid injury and then those numbers? Because is it worth it? And then they look at it and say, well, then we don't have to give up a second. We're not getting to the playoffs. Let's build for next year.
I would think that they're going to be mediocre enough to be in that in the hunt graphic, you know, throughout the rest of the season. Because you look at a lot of these AFC teams, they're better than some of them are better than their records, right? But I mean, like in the AFC West, it's kind of the Chiefs and sort of the Chargers. The Chargers have done an all right job, and then everybody else. You know, you've got in the AFC North, the Browns are dog crap. You know, you've got the Bengals who can't really stop anybody on defense unless it's Daniel Jones. And then the Steelers, you know, we'll see what Russell Wilson does. If and when Russell Wilson gets in the lineup, looks like that's going to happen this week. Ravens are going to continue to be really good. So those are like between those, I think those two teams will be in it. But then, I mean, the South, oh my gosh, it's the Texans. And then, you know, like the Colts are not a very good team. The Jaguars aren't a very good team. So like that's one thing. And then, you know, the West, and then the East, excuse me. And you've got the Bills that they're going to win that division. You know, the Jets, they're who we're talking about. And then the Dolphins are not going to be very good because the quarterback, you don't know what's going to happen there. And then the Patriots are dog crap. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like just based on the way things look right now, the Jets, I think, are going to be in the hunt. So that's why I think that the numbers are going to continue to go, because I don't think there's going to be any reason to let off the gas.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, joining us as he does each and every Tuesday, breaking down everything going on in the NFL. Can talk about what that means for the Raiders, but I actually want to move to the Lions, who obviously had a great week in terms of what happened on the field, except for a major injury to Aiden Hutchinson. Tough to watch. It was obviously brutal. But what does this do for the Lions? The Lions are, I think, right now the best team in the NFC, but this is a glaring hole on defense.
It's a huge hole, and I mean, it's not somebody that you can just up and replace very easily. I mean, if you want to make a trade for somebody, you know, and go that route, maybe Hassan Reddick from the Jets, right, is a guy that you might go after, but of course he wants the new contract, so that would be prohibitive, unless he just wants to come in and say, hey, let's go a one-year deal, we'll agree to something, and then we'll figure ourselves out as we go into the offseason. So that's one where if I'm looking at it from Detroit's standpoint, I'm making a call to at least see if we could work something out with Reddick, because you're right, that's a huge loss. And it's not just the on-field presence, but it's the off-the-field presence, the emotional lift. He's a team leader. He's a locker room leader. You know, so an elite edge rusher, yes, but also one of those guys that is a leader for them. That's going to be tough to replace just from any standpoint that you look at.
Before I ask you this next question, I just have to applaud you and tell you okay. How deep the appreciation for you earlier today with the Sopranos tweets that you were putting out. Absolutely fantastic. But there was another big trade today. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. Amari Cooper going to the Bills. And, you know, I think this trade with Amari Cooper is more impactful, honestly, than the Devontae Adams trade to the Jets, because the Bills are a good team, but they didn't have any receiver aside from Shakir, who's been dealing with some injury on and off, that could really get any separation. And this is part of the reason why the Bills struggled a little bit last night, I think, other than James Cook also not playing, you know, and that's their starting running back, and that's a guy that really can give you some good yards. But Amari Cooper was a guy that, by all accounts, was just absolutely miserable in Cleveland this year, and for good reason. I mean, it is a dog crap team right now, and it's led by number 4, who can't play quarterback, and yet has to continue to play quarterback because, I don't know, either Kevin Stefanski is being held hostage, or, you know, they just realize that they just have to continue to play this out, even though it's completely unsustainable. So if I'm Amari Cooper, I don't know if there's anybody that's going to be happier to make that drive on I-90 from Cleveland to Buffalo, because, like, this is salvation. You know, you get to escape everything that is going on with the Cleveland Browns, who are about to be booed out of their own stadium on Sunday when they play the Bengals, and you get to go play with an elite quarterback who understands how to make off-schedule plays and just needs a guy who can separate, right? Amari Cooper can do that. He's a supremely good route runner. He still can do that. He was able to track deep balls like nobody's business last year when Joe Flacco was playing with him. So he had a franchise record 265 yards against the Texans last year. The Texans were not a team that had a bad defense. So that's where I'm looking at this and I'm saying, man, you know, you need something to elevate your offense. If you were the Buffalo Bills, you went out, you did a good job, and you know, you gave up a three to do it. Man, that's also good. The contract really not cost prohibitive either. So I think the Bills did a great job in making this trade.
We discussed Aaron Rodgers is running the Jets. We know that he's the coordinator, he's the coach, he's the GM, he's the owner, everything. Who's making the decisions in Cleveland for your beloved Browns, Miles?
I think it is a combination of ownership, GM Andrew Berry, and then Kevin Stefanski has something to do with it too. But to a certain extent, they made their bed in, you know, what was it, March 2022, when they agreed to this trade to acquire Deshaun Watson from the Houston Texans and pay him all this guaranteed money in the world. And now that they restructure the contract as well in the offseason, that makes it even more cost prohibitive to get rid of him. So look, it's a bad situation. Kevin Stefanski is not a bad coach, right? I mean, he won games with Joe Flacco basically coming in off the street that earned him coach of the year last year, right? He won coach of the year in 2020 when he helped lead the Browns to the playoffs for the first time since 2002. So, like, this is not a situation where he's a crappy coach, and they've got a completely crappy GM in Andrew Berry, like we've seen in the past under the Haslams. This is just, you made a terrible decision to go and get this particular player, right? Getting rid of Baker Mayfield is one thing, and that's something that I agree with at the time. In retrospect, I still agree with it, because I think a lot of people memory hole the fact that Baker Mayfield was a troublemaker. He was immature. He needed to go elsewhere and be humbled, because, I mean, he was disrespectful to all kinds of folks, including those in the media that he should never be disrespectful to. And everybody seems to memory hole that he went to the Carolina Panthers and was so bad that they benched him, not just for PJ Walker, but also for Sam Darnold. All right, so, you know, we can look at that. And then, yes, he goes to the Rams, has a little bit of success, goes to the Bucks last year after he's been humbled, and then has more and leads him to a playoff appearance and a playoff win. So, like, that's all well and good. But if you look at the Browns in that situation where they were coming off the 21 season, it was very clear that Baker Mayfield and the Browns regime were not going to be able to get along going forward. So did they need to move on from Mayfield? Yes. Did they go after the wrong guy at quarterback? Hell yes. And so now they are still living in those consequences. And I don't know how much longer you can play Deshaun Watson, because it's going to go from full-on revolt, which is what Sunday is going to be, I believe, at Cleveland Brown Stadium on Lake Erie, to, in a couple weeks, apathy, because they've got three home games in a row. And by that third home game, if Deshaun Watson is still the quarterback, it's not going to be raining booze. It's going to be an empty stadium.
That would not be good. You left out the part of Baker Mayfield's journey when he beat the Raiders on, like, 2 days' notice when he flew out to L.A.
Oh, I said it had a little success. I know, but I said that. Yeah, I was in the building for that night. You were too, right? Yeah, it was a fun night. Crazy.
You going to be in the building for the Rams game this week?
I will not, no. Oh, but I will be there next Thursday when they play the Vikings. I know. Are you coming to town?
I will be there.
Oh, maybe probably, I'll see you this time if we don't have to go to Sizzler.
I swear to you, I was just about to throw the word. I was just about to say beating at Sizzler.
Sizzler is a great spot, and we could try a different Sizzler if you want. There's one closer to you.
Okay,
it's great.
Oh, is there? I'm unaware of it.
And then I'll be in Manhattan Beach on Saturday night, so I can't wait. That'll be a good time.
Fantastic,
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. Great. What do you got coming up?
I will be on Pro Football Talk Live Thursday morning on Peacock. So be sure to check that out, either live on the app, or you can check out the replays on the app and then on the YouTube. And NFL on NBC YouTube page. There we go.
I sent you a link to Greg Olson's rap. You can play it on Peacock. Make sure somebody edits it first. And don't listen to it with people around.
Wow. All right. Good thing I was alone.
Nice.
Yes. Enjoy. We want a review on text in a little bit. We'll talk to you soon. Miles Simmons. Great stuff. He's in for a treat. Greg Olson, actually a good rapper. Much, much better than I expected.
Okay.
Solid. Golden Knights give up 3 goals in like 5 seconds. They were down 4-1. Jack Eichel just answered 4-2. Midway through the second period, 4-2 Capitals. We'll keep you updated on that as the show continues. Cofield and Company on a Tuesday.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Back here, Cofield and Company. Scramble in front of the net. Put that in there, though. Well, the Knights continue to trail 4-2 in New Jersey, looking to keep the dream of 82-0 alive. Willie, still alive for now, but they're trailing.
Look, 81-1's not bad.
That's fair. I might have a couple overtime losses in there somewhere, like a 78-2.
There's 7 minutes left in the second. This game is far from over.
I'm saying, they're not done. But, you know,
yeah,
got to stay around.
We got an update in the ALCS.
Do we have both
3-0 Yankees top three.
It sounded like we got that update from Sam earlier that there's a drop pop-up, which is never good. I know one group of people that's going to be very happy right now. It's the executives at Fox. I think they have the World Series. Could be wrong about that. But TV executives are going to be very happy, potentially, with the
potential of Judge versus Shohei?
Or New York. Yeah. I think the Yankees-Dodgers is the ultimate gift for TV. But Yankees-Mets probably works.
It's far from a consolation. It's a lot.
The only team they don't want in is the Guardians.
Yes.
And Guardians-Mets would be a disaster.
Yes.
So I think that they are – it could be worse.
Rooting for the Yankees first and foremost.
So the Yankees are probably going to win when the executives are all behind one team. Usually that tends to happen. Not always, but every once in a while. A lot going on in Las Vegas, of course, as we got to. But the real important things are happening in New York, clearly. New York Yankees are playing the Guardians again, and last night, big things happening in baseball. Travis and Taylor were at the game. It's exciting. They looked awesome. Boo. So happy together, sitting in the suite, having a good time. I think people forget Travis from Cleveland, Guardians fan, enjoying the game. Didn't get the outcome he wanted, but man, was he happy. Why are you so upset about this?
We got to hear about it all the time during the NFL season. Can't baseball just be strictly about the sport?
What do you really have to hear about?
It's just been constant. It's just constant. It's always Travis.
Let me ask you a question.
What's up?
How is it changing your life?
Yeah. What's really – you know what? You want to hear the analysis of that false start? Or do you want to – hey, look, Taylor's in the suite. She's having a good time with her friends.
Oh, my goodness. Is that matching jackets? Is that his and hers? Purses, whatever they're doing, that it's just what it's always is. And it's not that it bothers me, but it's also like
it sounds like it bothers everywhere. You.
Whose wife it's is it everywhere. That's benefiting from the outfits?
Use check.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thing. That was a great story. That was something that I didn't mind hearing about or watching. But when it comes to every aspect of their lives, I'd rather hear, hey, Travis is looking good. That last game, he's finally seemed to get out of this slump. He's seeming to get better. Or, you know, that new album is coming from Taylor Swift. Can't wait to hear it. That's the kind of news I want to hear from these two, not their outings.
Well, good news for you this morning. Did you know that this happened, or were you setting this up?
What's that? What are you talking about?
Well, Taylor made a big announcement this morning on Good Morning America.
Really?
Career announcement.
Do tell.
I think you genuinely want to know.
I do. I appreciate Taylor Swift's
music.
Well,
he just said, if it has to do with their specific careers, he doesn't care. It's the fact that they're infiltrating the sports to talk about that they're there.
No. They can infiltrate sports. One of them is one of the bigger sports names going on right now in the market. I just want to hear more about their individual success more than just their outings.
I think you just don't like them. Either way.
I don't like the love that I'm seeing. I'm
Taylor
jealous.
Was in New York not just for the Yankees Guardians, and Travis, of course, attended with her yesterday, enjoying a little time off from the Chiefs. She was in New York to appear on Good Morning America, where she did make the announcement that at the end of the Eras Tour, which is still going on, by the way, for people that aren't tracking this, the Eras Tour still going on, the biggest tour in the history of music, still in the middle of it. She's about to go back to some shows, like I think this week or next. There will be a book detailing the Eras Tour, her first book.
Mm.
And they'll have exclusive behind-the-scenes photos from the tour, her personal stories of different stops along the way. I mean, this is big. This is what you wanted.
You'll be reading this?
So no new album, no new music coming in.
She just had a new album like a couple months ago. What do you want?
New book.
I'm greedy. I just want to keep hearing that. I want to keep getting that good breakup music coming from her. But a book is cool. I'll probably look into it if it's you know.
Tortured Poets Department wasn't enough for you. You need something different.
I need something real.
That was pretty real. It's pretty emotional.
That's okay. I thought you were about to tell me I was about to get a new album. I was getting real excited.
What's your Taylor album? Like what's your go to in the car on a road trip throwing a Taylor album? What do you throw it in?
What is it? Love Story? Honestly, I just have Love Story on repeat. It's amazing. I'll even go onto TikTok and there's a bunch of people who do like a 90s punk music style renditions of it. There's just a lot of good versions of that song. That is one of the top 10 songs ever made.
I've never
wow
punched in a Taylor wow Swift on my Spotify ever. Never
not,
will I
really
either.
Not once.
Let me just clarify. It's not a dislike, or I'm just not interested in hearing it. I'm just usually if I'm pulling up the music app, I'm in the gym, AirPods are in, and it's usually like 80s, 90s hip-hop, or I've got three different gym playlists that are mixed up with a mixture of things from 80s, 90s, and present hip-hop, hardcore, Public Enemy blaring in my ear, yelling at me, welcome to the Terror Dome, as I throw another dish on the squat rack.
No, that there's
not that. Taylor Swift about a breakup.
There ain't nothing wrong with that music choice. Me personally, I got the same thing. I got a little Tupac, got some Biggie, I got a lot of hip hop in my gym playlist. But when I hear that one, the peak of that song, which says pulls out a ring and says boom, that if I'm underneath
it's a
bench
love story.
It's a love story. It's a bad day to be Wade if I'm listening to that song on the bench press.
I will say this about Taylor and Travis. I've said this before. I gear up for Adams covered plenty of Super Bowls. I gear up for my first ever cover in the Super Bowl here in my hometown. I get ready for media night on the Field of Allegiant. What's my assignment? Travis and Taylor. The night after the Grammys, Travis has to answer for her. He said, well, I guess I have to hold up my end of the bargain. We get to Super Bowl Sunday, press row. We got six deep Associated Press plus the editor, I think it was. He's either five deep, six deep. Anyway, and what does he come over and say? Why don't you go ahead and cover Travis Kelce, because he ends up having a big game. Why don't you go up, follow up with Travis? So my bookend stories from the start to the finish were Travis. But here's the thing. People look at me like, oh, man, you got to cover the Super Bowl, and that's what you had to write about? But, Adam, what's the very first thing that y'all are looking at after you load your stories? Analytics, sure. Clicks. You know how many shares? You know how many times my headline, my byline was shared Tuesday after Media Day and Monday after the Super Bowl with all the subscribers to the Associated Press for that story? A lot.
I don't doubt it. Also, just real quick, shout out from our Kia text line, which anybody can text and give us your favorite Taylor Swift song, your favorite Travis Kelce play.
your favorite Tupac or Biggie song.
I do want everybody to send in your favorite Taylor Swift song. That sounds like a great use of the text line.
Please do. We got a gentleman named Ryan Gardner who says, now Taylor has invaded my sports radio. F me.
Well, she's part of the fabric of sports now. There's no question. And by the way, if I'm going to give you some advice if you really want to explore Taylor, but you're like, I don't want to be, I'm a tough guy, I don't want to listen to Taylor. Listen to Bad Blood, because it's a good song on its own, but it's also got Kendrick dropping a verse in there.
Uh-huh.
Like you could be like, hey, I'm listening for Kendrick. And you could kind of sneakily listen to Taylor and not have to apologize for it. But Black Space is a tremendous song on its own.
Those are very good recommendations. Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's been a few Taylor Swift songs who have been part of rejoins here for Cofield & Company.
I think we should do nothing but just to annoy everyone that doesn't like this talk. It's look, they're a part of our world. They're a part of our sports world. There's no question about it. And they were having a great time last night. The Raiders not having a great time. We mentioned a lot of the Davante Adams, Jets, Rodgers side of this trade. But what does this do for the Raiders going forward? Not much. Obviously, they have an extra pick next year, which could be a third, maybe a second. For the rest of this year, they're in for it. We saw this last week. Jacoby Myers can become a one. He can become an alpha, and he's a guy that is very, very talented, but he wasn't there last week because he was hurt. You had Joey Porter absolutely locking down Trey Tucker. DJ Turner, another guy who could step up and be an impactful playmaker, but when you've got Trey Tucker and DJ Turner as your top guys, Alex Bachman, Christian Wilkerson trying to fill in those other reps, like it's going to be tough to get guys open, and you don't exactly have quarterbacks that can create plays without receivers getting open. It could be tough. Now, Brock Bowers obviously is going to continue to be the showcase guy, the 1A, the guy that gets the most targets, but man, they're in for a long rest of the season without Davante Adams out there for sure, and with that being done. But I do think it helps them in the short term just in terms of getting regrouped, getting refocused, and just kind of moving forward, because this has been hanging over them and it's been affecting them a lot. And by the way, Golden Knights just got a breakaway. Holtz robbed by Logan Thompson, who wasn't a great shot, so it wasn't necessarily a great save. But
by the way, in this game, Alex Ovechkin, 700 assists, becomes the, I believe, 60th player. 60th NHL player to record 70 career assists as he continues.
700.
700th yeah. career assists. 60th player to do so as he continues his pursuit toward the all-time goal record as well, held currently by Wayne Gretzky.
And that's the big one. And I do think Ovechkin's going to stay around long enough
to get it,
to make sure that he sets this record. A ton of penalties committed by the Golden Knights so far in this game. It's not been the most disciplined of outings for them. But I had just I just mentioned the Raiders. So, what do they do going forward? Do they trade off a bunch of guys? I don't necessarily think so. But I do think that this is – I mean, the word lost year is tough to say. But I don't see much coming out of the rest of this year at this point.
It's going to be – it's all of us, fans, the Raiders, media, coverage, we're in for a long season. I don't think that there's much good coming from – I think at this point, the outside noise, and I mean, they can get back to being focused, but I don't necessarily – I don't see an upside to the season as a whole.
Oh, no, another trade just happened, by the way, in the NFL. Kind of a weird one to me, honestly. The Vikings, obviously dealing with a injury in the backfield. Adam Jones has been dealing with injury. They had a bye week last week, but looks like Aaron Jones, of course, has been dealing with an injury. Probably going to be out. Ty Chandler is going to step in. Not a whole lot of depth behind him necessarily. And the Vikings have now traded for Cam Akers. Cam Akers, who used to be there, got his chance with the Texans because Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon were both out. Didn't do a whole lot with that chance. Got some talent, but obviously has had some roadblocks in the way of him having success in the NFL. Pretty interesting that they wanted him back, but I think it also does signal the fact that Aaron Jones probably is dealing with a little bit something more than was previously expected. And some people, Willie, picked up Ty Chandler in fantasy, which I know you did.
Well, my chief scout helped me out with that one and said, grabbed my phone and said, well, first of all, before we look at this week's stuff, let's look at next week's, and we planned ahead. So I do have Ty Chandler, hint, hint, Adam Hill. I think I brought it up yesterday on the show. Didn't I bring that up yesterday?
I believe so.
Are you eating right now?
Just a little mint.
Go for us. Like, you're getting ready to talk in the microphone. You don't look ready to talk.
You got to tuck that. You got to tuck the mint right up into the lip. You know what I'm saying?
It's like a dip.
No, strictly mint, winter
green. No, but I'm saying, like, that's the same concept, right?
It's more of just, I keep my mouth busy with all these thoughts and all this work we're doing here, the good work here at Cofield & Company.
Sure.
Just making
the,
sure,
all the breakdowns
know.
Of Taylor Swift songs and things like that.
I already got a playlist in mind that I'm going to have for post-production. It's going to be amazing.
It is Tuesday, which is Fantasy Football Day for a lot of people out there. Willie had a question. He just referenced, it's his first time playing fantasy football. I've been helping him with his team a little bit. It is waiver wire day. He has a question about his fantasy team. We'll see if it helps anybody else out there. He's going to ask us. I know people love this, so I know you're going to be tuning in for it. We'll do that grab bag when we close things out on Cofield & Company.
Cofield & Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Closing things out. We did not mention this because it happened during the show, so we missed it, but Davante Adams did put out a statement on Instagram about leaving the Raiders. He said, quote, "As a kid from East Palo Alto who grew up a Raiders fan, the past 3 years have been both an honor and the fulfillment of a childhood dream. I came to Las Vegas with the intention of bringing a championship to the city and have cherished every opportunity to play with that continued pursuit in mind. To my teammates, coaches, ownership, and staff, you have all taught me countless lessons, and I am forever grateful to the resiliency, drive, and commitment you brought every day as we worked tirelessly to build something together. To Raider Nation, thank you for your relentless passion and unwavering support. When I put on the historic shield every Sunday from Oakland to Las Vegas, Raider Nation has and will always be part of my family. Signed, Devontae Adams. I can tell you this, the comment section is not very friendly right now to Devontae Adams. They're not loving the statement. They are kind of going after. I mean, obviously, there's some good ones, but definitely some negative feedback from Devontae. But I guess it's something you should do. I mean, he probably knew it was going to happen.
A lot of comments.
Are you looking at him right now?
A lot of blame to me, Josh McDaniels. Yeah. A couple of calling him a quitter.
Yeah. A lot of everybody's once a Raider, always a Raider, except for you.
Yeah.
We don't want you.
Here's the thing. And here's the thing. Man. He's bailing, but I've said this since all this has started to take place. This is not what he signed up for. And so do you ultimately go back and place the blame on Josh McDaniels? I don't know. I mean, if you do that, then you got to start at the top and you ultimately say, okay, Mark Davis, look at all the decisions that you've made. The bottom line is this isn't what he signed up for. He came here to play with Derek Carr. Derek Carr was forced out. He was dealt Jimmy Garoppolo. He was dealt Aiden O'Connell. He was dealt Gardner Minshew. Back to Aiden O'Connell, which he didn't play with this time around. But the fact of the matter is, it's the best thing for both parties at this point.
Yeah. So. Sometimes breakups are good. And in this case, it might be good. Raiders have moved on. Devontae has clearly moved on. And I don't think the statement is going to make it any better. But I think it's something you probably should do. I think you can criticize him easily if he did.
His agent wrote it perfectly.
Sure. No question. Oh, he maybe wrote it on the plane to New York.
This morning. On the way to the Monday night game.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I teased this before, and I was laughing, joking about it. People, for the most part, I know I actually listen to a lot of fantasy football podcasts, and there's a fantasy channel out there that I check out. But for the most part, people don't love hearing about fantasy teams. But it is Tuesday. It's a big day in the fantasy world. It's pickup day. And you had a question for me, and I said, you know what? Let's do it on the air, because maybe it'll help somebody else that's in a similar position. So what did you have? You already mentioned that I got you Ty Chandler last week.
Right.
Looking ahead to potentially.
Well, one of the best tips that you gave me, and you know, for disclosure here, I'm not a fantasy guy. So at the beginning of the season, I said, let me get back into fantasy, because I used to do it for the heck of it. Let me get back into it because it'll help give me something to talk about if Adam and I ever do a show together. Well, we couldn't do it today because there happens to be a big trade and a lot of other things. But that being said, you said, Willie, every week, replace your defense. Look for a different defense based off the matchup. My question now is, I thought I drafted the best place kicker in the league when we did our draft in Brandon Aubrey with Dallas. It's in a bye week. What do you do with your kicker on a bye week?
For the most part, I think you would just drop him and change it. But I think you're right, especially if you're in our league, and I think you are, that gives escalating points for long field goals. So like 3 points for a 30-yarder, 4 points for a 40-yarder, 5 points for a 50, potentially 6 points for a 60. If you are in that kind of league, kickers are more valuable. So I would probably try to keep Brandon Aubrey on the team. I wouldn't do it at the risk of cutting somebody valuable.
Right.
But if you have somebody on the roster that you're going to drop anyway, I don't have a big problem with you picking up a kicker for this week, dropping him next week, and then going back to Brandon Aubrey the rest of the year. I think he's that valuable.
Well, we do have two Bears receivers, because you pick one up, we threw him
in
the lineup.
Zay and Keenan Allen, I think.
Yeah. So one of those may have to be expendable. We'll have to take a look.
Well, we don't want to drop Rome. He's a Vegas
kid. He's a Vegas kid, yeah.
We want to keep him on the roster. Right. I'm kidding. Don't do that with your fantasy teams. Don't use emotion. It's all about business in the fantasy world. Just like it is for the Raiders, Devontae Adams has moved on. That chapter is closed. In the Raiders' history, I'm sure it'll still be talked about, but at least we can move on around here and talk about other things with the Raiders. The long 2 week national nightmare is over. Devontae Adams has been moved. Thanks to all of our guests today, Sam Panionovic, Sammy P. Follow him up on Twitter at SP Shoot, Miles Simmons, Miles A. Simmons on Twitter, Pro Football Talk, and of course, Ashley Vice. You can follow her on all of her social platforms as well. She is currently on the Golden Knights broadcast in Washington, where the Golden Knights trail 4-2. Thanks to all them. Thanks to Griffin and Willie. Cofield the company continues the rest of the week. Steve Cofield back next week. We will talk to you guys again soon, and we won't have to talk about Devontae Adams anymore.